Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton on your left, all the way from New York City. And
New York City.
David, we had some activity this weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting weekend,
yeah.
And the wide variety of conspiracy theories abound.
Yeah, and that's the reason I've got the title screen. It says, Luck, Conspiracy, or Divine Intervention. And honestly, I think all three apply. All three. I mean, you know, that's...
At one angle or another, right?
One angle or another, yeah. Because, we're going to go through it. We've also got some information for you from Israel as well. You know I never lose focus on Israel. Also a little bit from the Ukraine and Russia. But let me tell you this. I don't know if we'll get to that or not, because we have got a ton of stuff that's going on here in the United States that is important enough that we need to dedicate an entire show to it, in my opinion. I mean, all the all the networks are 24/7 on the thing, right? So I think we can dedicate one show to it, and then we'll probably move on from there. But I'm going to play you first an audio clip, and this is from a new service that I subscribe to. And the reason that I take this new service is because they are supposed to be what's called white paper news. In other words, they are not supposed to put a spin on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be able to figure out if they're left wing or right wing, which means that I probably will not be paying them again. I will probably cancel my subscription. All right, let's listen to this. This is the latest update on the Trump rally.
These are some of the updates on the Trump rally shooting. The FBI and Secret Service are investigating the possible motive of the gunman who opened fire during former President Donald Trump's rally, grazing the former president's ear and leaving a bystander dead. Snipers neutralized suspect Thomas Matthew Crooks, who was from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, not far from Butler County, the site of Trump's rally. Trump's ear was grazed, one spectator was killed, and two others were critically injured in the shooting, apart from the shooter. Trump is safe, as Secret Service confirmed Saturday night, and President Biden is continuing to receive updates from top administration officials. Mr. Biden said in brief remarks Sunday that he has called for an independent review of the security at the rally to assess what took place and has directed Secret Service to examine security measures for this week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
And I'm sure that reassures everybody, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., that still doesn't have Secret Service protection, that they might need to pay attention to it. I saw a retired Secret Service agent that said that when he started with the Secret Service, they only protected the president, the vice president, and I believe their immediate family. And that was basically it. Now they protect the president, the vice president, all of their children, all of their grandchildren, all of the foreign dignitaries that come across over here. And there was a couple others that I can't remember right off the top of my head. In other words, he said that their tasks had increased by probably 500-600%, and their staff increased by 0. So, it kind of gives you an idea. They are, he was saying, they're just spread too thin. Okay. Well, that can be corrected. The president can correct that right now. He can authorize more people. I mean, he wanted to put hundreds of new IRS agents out there to harass Americans. So I think he can probably pay for somebody to protect people. Just my point.
Yeah, okay. If he can put IRS people, he could put Secret Service.
Yeah. So, I've got a video report I'm going to play for you guys here in just a minute. It's a couple of them, actually, are pretty crazy. But first, I wanted to tell you about this. There is footage, and this is what we're going to first. Anyway, there is footage that shows the rally goers, the people that went in attendance, trying to alert police that there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the shooter, whose name I will not mention, could be seen climbing into a position in the video. He soon fired several shots at Trump, striking the former president and three crowd members, one of whom was killed. Now, It said that the local law enforcement, this is important here, local mm-hmm. law enforcement had the responsibility for the building where this guy was positioned. The building was actually a rally point for one of the local counter-sniper teams. Now, that is according to a federal law enforcement official. The source also said that a team was actually stationed in or near the building. There were four counter-sniper teams at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday, including two from the Secret Service and two from local law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
The source also added that Butler County Sheriff's Department has confirmed that one officer climbed up on the roof, saw this guy armed with a rifle, and then retreated. Now, why he didn't, you know, you've seen all these cops always have a microphone on their shoulder. Anybody right. that's ever had any kind of experience with them sees that. And all he had to do was press the button on his shoulder and said, there's a guy on the roof with a gun. And I guarantee exactly. you that the Secret Service would have had Trump down and out of there before he got a shot off. But instead, mm-hmm. he just retreated like a coward. He didn't say anything. That guy deserves yeah, I mean, to be fired.
And he's looking over the edge of the roof. Why didn't he just take his gun and go poof?
Yeah, you know? Take him out. Take him out. Yeah, okay. All right, well, you have to look at the mainstream media for what they say. So, anyway, before we do that even, I promised I was going to show you that footage, okay? So here it is.
Yeah,
watch this.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Oh, he's awesome. And Scott, I'm here with you, fighting like hell to get a sentence.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House, because if we do, we're going to make America better than other people. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Because we have millions and millions officer. Of people in our country that shouldn't be here. Dangerous people.
Criminals.
We have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's not.
We have people that
right
should
here.
Not be here.
Right on the roof.
It's much tougher than
it.
It happened.
He went right on the roof again.
Okay. Now then. It's pretty obvious that if people, ordinary citizens that have absolutely mm-hmm. no experience in law enforcement can identify somebody that is a threat to the leading candidate for president of the United States, that people that are trying to protect him should have seen him before they did. Am I right mm-hmm. or wrong?
Oh, 100%. And they were not... Not only should they have seen him, they should have listened to everyone else who said, hey, there's a guy on the roof.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
From what I'm being told, David, a bunch of people were saying this stuff, and the police were acting like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know. What are you on? Mm-hmm. What do you think? And then you got
a
coward
climbs up there and sees. I did see the BBC report, too.
I'm sorry?
The BBC report, mm-hmm. they came out, and they had this, you know, typical Pennsylvania guy the hat on yeah. and the beard, and he's like, I've been telling them, and for like 2 minutes, they just ignored me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not gonna try to spin this. You know, I'm not gonna try to put any bad light on the police department there. I'm gonna go with what they were telling me, or what the reports are saying, that they're just stretched so thin. I'm gonna relay a story. Okay, this happened to me years and years ago, and we had President George H.W. Bush coming into Tyler, Texas, and I was the station manager at Tyler Pounds Field. And the day before he came in, we were all called into a conference room, mm-hmm. all of us, all managers, anybody that had any kind of, you know, you were over anybody, you were there. We all had to sign a disclosure agreement that we would not even tell our wife what we heard. We had to sign them because mm-hmm. we were given the full schedule. I mean, the motorcade route, you know, where the plane was going to be, how he was going to get off, what time, I mean, exact times. And they said, you know, he sticks to times. He sticks to them, okay? I had a weather balloon. That was one of the things that we had to do. We had a weather balloon that we had to raise every day at certain times. And I noticed that that weather balloon time was going to be at exactly the same time that the president arrived, or within, you know, five minutes or so, right? And we had gotten a bad order of weather balloons. And our problem was, is when we were pumping them up, they tended to explode and make a very loud noise. So I went to the Secret Service agent and told him about it. And he said, well, you need to call the White House. Okay, so here I am, a nobody, and I called the White House. Yeah, he gave me the number. I called them, and they said, okay, you will raise that balloon at this exact time. We will let everybody there on the ground know what's going on. And, you know, if it goes up, good. If it blasts, if it breaks, don't worry about it. But make sure you do it at this particular time because you don't want to get shot. Okay? So, anyway, I was prepared for that. We had a guy that walked into the conference room the day before also. It was walking around the table. He looked at every one of us very carefully, never said a word, and then walked back out. And we asked him because we were like, "What? Who in the heck is this? What's he doing?" And he said, oh, that's the sniper. He'll be on the tower just in case. And we said, okay, do anybody want to come back? He can come back in and look at us again if he wants to. You know, we don't want any problem. But my point in all of this is that the security was so tight back then that you couldn't breathe wrong. And you were terrified of making the wrong move because you knew that all those cars that were coming around with the president, that they were full of Secret Service agents with some heavy-duty weaponry. And I don't think that's the case anymore. And I'm a little bit upset about that. Now, here's the mainstream media. This is day of the assassination attempt. And by the way, that first one that I played, you notice he didn't say assassination attempt, he said shooting. That's the reason I'm dropping him. Okay, if he's going to water down an assassination attempt, I got no use for him. Okay, here is what the mainstream media had to say. Watch this one.
Take a look at these headlines from the mainstream media downplaying the severity of what took place. The Washington Post, quote, Trump leaves rally after loud noises erupt. That's not a joke. Neither is this. A CNN article that was taken down reading, quote, Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. Another article that was taken down from Forbes reading, quote, will surviving gunfire be Donald Trump's next appeal to black voters?
Joe Concha is a Fox News contributor, and he joins us now. Joe, surprising, but also at the same time completely predictable. What's your reaction to those headlines?
I mean, after what we saw this weekend, Carly, Todd, what we saw that played out live in front of the world, as far as the former president and likely in terms of you look at the odds, you look at the polls, future president of the United States nearly being, his head nearly shot off on live television, this should have resulted in the kind of objective, unbiased coverage the country deserved in this historic, nearly tragic moment that you saw unfold on your screen. Some outlets, however, they failed that test miserably. I mean, you look at the headlines, right? You talked about that CNN headline, but also the Associated Press, quote, Donald Trump has been escorted off the stage during a rally after loud noises ring out in the crowd. Yeah, loud noises like, you know, gunshots, where you had Donald Trump stand up with blood on his face and on his ear 1 minute after this happened. And their initial reporting is that it was loud noises. That's what caused that. How about the New York Times? Trump hurt but safe after a shooting. No, you utter hacks. It wasn't a shooting. It was an assassination attempt. ABC News, Sunday morning, George Stephanopoulos, quote, President Trump and his supporters have contributed to this violent rhetoric as well. And then Martha Raddatz says, absolutely, George. And let's remember January 6th. I mean, this is 31 flavors of absolute stupidity. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, the president, said there should be a, quote, bullseye on Donald Trump. Unquote. He said that on July 8th, 1 week before this happened. He spoke last night, boilerplate comments about unity in a teleprompter. It had no authenticity behind it. And then he shuffled off without taking one question from the press. So that's where we are at this point, as far as the temperature in this country and the president trying to calm it down after he only raised it up for the last 3.5 years, calling not just Donald Trump, but his supporters extremists that needed to be stopped. Well, at least one person got the message and tried to stop Donald Trump at that rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday.
At least one person got the message that they've been sending. And we've been warning about this. Okay. Now, honestly, I thought that this assassination attempt would be against Joe Biden. I really did. But I was also always concerned that it could have been Trump. But people are going to say, why did you think it would be?
Typically, conservatives don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, started way back, you know, when Lincoln, they didn't like him being conservative. So,
You know, people are going to ask me, how come you thought it was Biden? Okay, and all I can say is because where there is smoke, there is usually fire. Okay?
I have a weird supposition about that, if you'd like to hear it.
Sure, and then I'm going to present this. Go ahead.
All right. I have absolutely no way to vet this, but remember that prophecy that the American Indian that put a curse on the presidency back in the 1800s that every president that was elected in a year
with a zero
ending in zero, so it would be every 20 years, mm-hmm. would be assassinated in office. And then we had, you know, 60 was, you know, JFK, and then 80 with Reagan, mm-hmm. you know, he just lost his life. It was mm-hmm. very close. Mm-hmm. And then some people say, well, you know, he broke the curse. But here we are, the 2020 election, and where's the assassination bullet headed? It's towards Trump. So does that mean he won the election? And you see what I'm saying?
Here? Yeah, I do.
How come it wasn't on Biden? Because he's not really the one that was elected. And, these curses are... they're quite particular, and because they're contracts. So that's just an interesting supposition. I have absolutely no way to vet that. But.
Well, you know, I had heard that too. And, every president elected either was assassinated or died in office. And Reagan did break it. He did. The doctors saved his life. He would have died. You know, there was no doubt about it. He would have died. If Donald Trump hadn't turned his head at the last possible second, he would have died too. You know, we'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's this, okay? I've got six pages. Six, okay?
Now, I just read them real slow.
Well, I can't. Because we would be here till next year, okay? So I'm just going to wrap this up really, really quick, okay? This is, again... I'm saying this because where there is smoke, there is usually fire. And the one person that I think is waiting in the wings for Joe Biden to fall out is not Kamala Harris. The one person that's waiting in the wings to jump in is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, here's the deal.
She's been trying to jump in for decades.
All right. Well, I've got this here. This is allegations.
It's my turn.
Allegations that have been circulated since 1994. So before I get here, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to answer it myself.
Fine.
How many people do you know personally, that friends of yours, that have committed suicide during your lifetime? Count them. Seriously.
One.
Okay. That's me, too. One. Happened in high school. Since 1994. There have been 50, at least, it says 50 or more, personal friends of the Clintons who have committed suicide. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here.
Yeah, and they stabbed themselves in the back.
Yeah, well, one of them shot himself in the back of the head 3 times and then put the gun over about 50 yards away and then came back and died. Okay, anyway, here's the deal. You've got Don Henry and Kevin Ives, Victor Razor, Ian Spiro, Mary Maloney. You'll have to forgive me as I flip pages here. Vince Foster, Jerry Parks, Edward Eugene Wiley, Ron Brown, Jim McDougal, John F. Kennedy Jr., who was, and people are going to say, no, he had nothing to do with that. Well, no, he was going to run for the seat that, that Hillary was running for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seth Rich, Victor Thorne, Sean Lucas, Jeffrey Epstein, we can kind of figure that one out, right?
Yeah.
Christopher Sine, Kobe Bryant, Anthony Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, Jamel Mose, M-O-I-S-E, Jean-Luc Brunel, Mark Middleton, and then they've thrown in some extras here for Hillary. Anthony Bourdain and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as far as the Japanese former Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, even Queen Elizabeth, all of which had had stuff that were saying, well, you know, we've got some information on the Clintons. Now, I'm not saying that the Clintons had anything to do with this. I'm not. I want to make that clear. But, good grief. I know one person in my 66 years of life that committed suicide that was a friend of mine. David knows one person in his however many years that's committed suicide. And yet everybody that touches the Clintons that doesn't toe the line, they seem to just lose their mind and they got to shoot themselves or something. Or hang themselves in a jail cell or something like that. And all I can say is where there's smoke, there's fire. What do you want to, do you have any comment on that, David? And again, I'm not saying they did it.
No, but everybody knows. I mean, just look, the memes are abounding right now of the look of shock on her face. Like, we missed? Yeah, you know, these guys, they're all over the place. And even the term, oh, they've been suicided.
Yeah.
It's just, everybody knows. They're friends, they're enemies, everybody.
Yeah,
it's like common knowledge. So.
Well,
but another, I didn't say that.
No, well, you noticed that George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, he said that the Republicans and Donald Trump were to blame as well. That's his words, not mine.
Yeah.
For the political, you know, fighting that's going on. He said, you know, Republicans do it as well. In other words, he's admitting straight up the Democrats do it, but he's trying to deflect to them.
Yeah. You kind of add them in. Oh, well, everybody does it.
Yeah.
No, actually, they don't. you're not going to find, you're just not. You're going to find conservative people that are nuts like this.
Yeah.
And you check out all the meltdowns. Just put in, you know, libtard meltdown. Just search that, and you'll see them all over the place. They can't even stand the fact that you might have a table handing out flyers. They're going to come over and scream and cry and throw themselves on the floor and screech like little girls and throw things. And it's just ridiculous, you know. And then you see, you know, a conservative thing, and they actually stop to help someone who's on the other side if they get hurt. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a meltdown. That's the devil for you. What are you going to do?
Now, usually it would be impossible, and I do mean absolutely impossible, for me to play a president's news conference on the radio. You go back to any president in the history of time. Well, I can play all the Bidens. So let's listen to this one.
I've been thoroughly briefed by all the agencies in the federal government as to the situation, based on what we know now. I have tried to get a hold of Donald. He's with his doctors. Apparently he's doing well. I plan on talking to them shortly, I hope, when I get back to the telephone. Look, there's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country. We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience. I don't have all that detail. We'll make that available to you. I may be able to come back a little later tonight, but we'll put out a statement if I'm not able to get, if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to can be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And we, everybody must condemn it. Everybody. I'll keep you informed, and if I'm able to speak to Donald, I'll let you know that as well. But so far, it appears he's doing well, number one. Number two, that they're thoroughly investigating what happened to anyone else in the audience. We have some reports, but not final reports. And every agency in the federal government, I'm going back to my phone to speak with the federal agencies that are being put together again to give me an updated briefing. Has anything happened? They learned any more in the last couple hours. So thank you very much, and I hope I get to speak to them tonight, and I'll get back to you if I do. Okay?
Mr. President, do you think this was an assassination attempt?
I don't know enough. I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts. So I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make any more comments. Thank you.
Are you worried, President?
What an idiot. Of course it's an assassination attempt. If somebody takes a gun and shoots at somebody that's running for political office, it's an assassination attempt. Even Biden should be able to figure that out. He's not that brain dead, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he kind of alluded to that, but then, you know, not for nothing. I got to give it to him for saying, hey, let me get all the facts first, and then I'll answer you, but I do have an opinion. Yeah. I mean, well, at least I give him that, opposed to saying no.
I'll give him that. I'll give him that much. Okay, I'll go with you that far. But where was my thoughts and prayers go out to Mr. Trump and his family? Where's that? Did you hear that a single time? No.
Not interested. He needed to say, he had his talking points, and that's what he needed to say.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, what if he said anything else? You know, if he said anything else slightly off of that. I want to talk about a few things when we come back. Mm-hmm. One of them being the hood. That's going to be fun. And then I know you got a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, we're overloaded today. I got tons of stuff here, so I'll be happy to give you some. You deserve it. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're going to get more into this, and hopefully, let you guys see that God is in charge, and thank God He is on His throne, because I've got it listed right up there at the top of the screen for those of you watching this in video form. What? Conspiracy or divine intervention? Okay, well, my personal perspective here is divine intervention. Okay, I don't believe in luck. In conspiracy, I don't think some 20-year-old kid has got that going on. So, yeah. We shall see. We'll be back for the second half of the show. Right back.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. Donald Trump's choice of running mate, J.D. Vance, has triggered a wave of alarm across Europe. Vance's remarks on Britain having an immigration problem and describing it as an Islamist country has enraged UK politicians. There are also fears he will only embolden Trump to abandon Ukraine in favour of a negotiated deal with Russia. Nina Maria Potts has more.
In Britain, the response was swift. Ex-Conservative Chair Saeed Warsi has slammed J.D. Vance's characterisation of Britain as an Islamist country with nuclear weapons, calling the comments by Donald Trump's choice of running mate Islamophobic. Britain's Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner also dismissed his comments, defending the Labour Party's record on diversity and election success. In other parts of Europe, a wave of concern is dominating European capitals as Donald Trump's chances of winning the US presidential election look ever more likely. And his choice of J.D. Vance has almost immediate consequences for the future funding of Ukraine in its defense against Russia, with a growing fear that Donald Trump will support Russia in an end to the war.
The new UK government has launched a comprehensive defense review into the state of the British Armed Forces. It comes amid concerns of the military's readiness for potential conflicts, having faced years of cuts and reductions in its size. Simon Gaitan reports.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced a root and branch review into the UK's armed forces, looking at the state of the military, the threats Britain faces, and the capabilities needed to meet them. The government says it's the next step following Starmer's return from the NATO summit in Washington and the reaffirmed commitment to a 2.5% increase in defence spending. Starmer said that the UK faces a, quote, more dangerous and volatile world, and promised to bolster what he called Britain's hollowed-out armed forces. There's been growing concern over the state of the UK's military, having faced years of cuts in its size and shortages in equipment and munitions. Lord Robertson, the newly appointed head of the review, warned that Britain and its allies are facing a, quote, deadly quartet of nations increasingly working together, in reference to Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, and stressed that the UK and its allies must be ready to confront them.
It's Prime Day for more than 20 countries when the world's largest online retailer, Amazon, slashes its prices to entice buyers. But as Tony Waterman explains, other major retailers in the US are trying to ride the Amazon wave.
Other large retailers, including Walmart, Best Buy, and Target, are dropping some big deals of their own as they try to cash in on the summer sale. And for good reason. Last year, Amazon sold more than 375 million items during Prime Day, totaling nearly $13 billion in sales.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and that's Mr. David Paxton. David, I want to get right back into this stuff here.
Let's do it.
Because this is an... Let me see where I'm going to go first.
We got the hood. We got a 20-year-old. I mean, what do you got?
Yeah, well, I'm going to look at the world's perspective of this.
Okay.
This is what the rest of the world is saying. So let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the Republican National Convention, where he is expected to receive the party's formal nomination, calling for unity and resilience following the assassination attempt against him. Trump said that it is a, quote, miracle that he survived Saturday's attempt on his life that saw a bullet graze his cheek while speaking at a campaign rally. The 20-year-old gunman, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was shot dead by the Secret Service shortly after firing on the former president. The shooting killed one bystander and injured two more. President Biden condemned the shooting of his rival in a televised address, saying politics should never be a killing field. Leaders around the world have been sending messages of support and condemning the assassination attempt. European leaders have condemned the attempted assassination and expressed concern at the rise in political violence, with two European leaders attacked in the last 2 months alone. Alex Cadier reports from Brussels.
This attack is a warning to everyone, regardless of political affiliation, to restore dignity and honor to politics. The words of Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni in response to the attack on former President Trump. Her condemnation was echoed by leaders around Europe, from the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen to the French, German, Dutch and Spanish leaders. Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico, himself the victim of an unsuccessful assassination attempt just 2 months ago, said the Trump attack was a carbon copy and that the former president's political rivals were trying to shut him down. What's certain is that the shooting in the US will bring politicians' safety back into sharp focus here in Europe. Alex Cadier, Brussels.
All right, now, you notice we haven't said that, you know, these people on the other side are responsible for this, but you can see that the world thinks so,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you're not going to hear that on mainstream media, I promise you, you know, but...
Oh, no.
But that's what world leaders are saying, David. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, even, World News Daily. I was one of them. Came out with something ridiculous that he was a staunch Republican and a strong conservative, mm-hmm. and his friends are saying this about this shooter clown. Clearly, he wasn't.
No,
you know, and it's because he's making donations to all these liberal things, and there's actually video of him going around.
$15. That's how much he gave him. Yeah, that's it.
So, mm-hmm. but. He's making donations to liberal causes,
yep.
and they have video. People filmed him, you know, losing his lunch at a conservative table. He's mm-hmm. and they're like handing out, you know, flyers, and he's screaming like an idiot at the top of his lungs, like a little girl.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of obscenities coming out, and like, oh yeah, sure, he's a staunch Republican, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my own ideas of why he registered to be a Republican, but this is strictly
we all know why.
Personal opinion, and that is that Daddy and Mommy told him that you're a Republican, and that's what you do. Now,
well,
maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
They were Democrats, actually.
Are they?
I think it was a ruse because they found him in that BlackRock commercial. Did you see that?
No, I did not. I did not.
Ah, Oh, BlackRock's wonderful, and there's this professor there is teaching the kids, and there he is in the BlackRock commercial as one of the students.
Okay.
And that's going all over the place now. Yeah. So yeah, there. If he's tied in with BlackRock in any way, that it's suspect. Just anything about you say about him is suspect.
Yeah.
But his dad is like a psychologist or something, and then and they make a bunch of money, and they're Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's what I read anyway.
Yeah. You know. Well, you know, I've been digging through big time stories. So I missed that one. I'm going to have to go back and find it because it looks like...
Oh, there's a billion of them out there right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to all of them.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a fun one, though. You got time for another fun one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So speaking about the hood, since you asked, I've seen one particular video and then many echoing the sentiment of... They say, listen, if the Secret Service is not protecting you, he says, Mr. Trump, next time you come to any place, go to the hood, grab yourself 30 or 40 of them guys on the street. They all love you. They'll protect you a lot better than your Secret Service did, guaranteed. And I'm like, number one, that speaks to who he's speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and number two, that guy's probably right.
Probably is. Yeah. Because, you know, Trump's been under a lot of, he gets criticized because motorcycle groups are, you know, backing him and they ride along or whatever. And, you know, just normal people are really strong supporters. And he gets blasted for all, you know, MAGA's responsible for this, MAGA's responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's, this is President Trump himself. It said that he's breaking his silence on the assassination attempt. Okay. And the quote, I think, is pretty cool, actually. He says, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead.
Mm.
And he repeated that. I'm supposed to be dead. he said, the doctor at the hospital said he never saw anything like this. He called it a miracle. Trump also told the newspaper on board his private plane when heading to Milwaukee, by luck or by God? Many people are saying it's by God I'm still here. And I agree with that. He described the Secret Service agents that rushed at him like linebackers, mentioning another one eliminated the gunman with one shot right between the eyes. He said, they did a fantastic job. It's surreal for all of us. I don't know if you've, people have probably seen this play out a billion times, okay? And you see that Trump is yelling out there, you know, he wanted to get his shoes. You know, people thought that was kind of strange, right? Anyway, it says, the agents hit me so hard that my shoes fell off and my shoes are tight. he said that he reacted to the images of him raising his fist and being surrounded by Secret Service agents in the seconds following the shooting. He said, and this is a quote, a lot of people say it's the most iconic photo they've ever seen. And
it really is.
And then he follows that immediately up with, he says, they're right. And I didn't die. He said, usually you have to die to have an iconic picture. I just wanted to keep speaking, but I got shot. So, you know, who was it? Theodore Roosevelt was shot at a meeting when he was running for president the second time as a member of the Bull Moose Party. And he finished his speech. He said, you know, it's going to take more than that to kill me. And he finished his speech. I bet if Trump had had that option, he probably would have done it too. He said, Trump also told the New York Post that he appreciates the fine and very nice call he received from President Biden in the aftermath of the event, noting without specifics that the race between them could be more civil going forward. A lot of places you hear a single shot, everybody runs. Here, there were many shots, and they stayed. I love them. They're such great people, talking about his supporters there. And I don't know. I might have sprinted out of there myself, David. I'm not sure if I would have stuck around with bullets flying.
I don't know. I mean, the legacy you'd have, right?
Yeah. Well, I know.
Not to make light of that, but, you know. I mean, we're going to go eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. The Secret Service agents, they've got some explaining to do, in my opinion. You know, still. All right.
You know what I noticed too?
What's up?
Two different things actually I've noticed that a lot of liberals are saying, you know what, after I saw him and have assassination attempt and then get up and try and talk again, regardless, mm-hmm. they say that's the kind of leader we need for our country.
Right.
A lot of liberals are switching over now. And an immense amount of women are posting saying women should not be Secret Service agents, and they're posting the pictures of what those girls did on the thing. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, in that, following up on that one, it's coming to the attention of everybody now, and it's going to get played up more and more over the next few days you watch. You remember mm-hmm. DEI?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the Secret Service agent women that are there were DEI hires.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, you know, if you don't believe me, look it up, okay? But you got a 5'8" woman trying to protect a 6'5" guy.
Yeah, you know, and she couldn't get a gun back in her holster correctly.
And she could, yeah. So, you know, I asked this question, you know, because people say, oh, you just don't like DI. Okay, no, I don't like DI, and here's why. Let's say that you have a heart attack, and, they stabilize you, and they say, you're going to need surgery. Okay, you got a choice of two surgeons. One is a DEI hire. We have no idea what his credentials are. The other one's been doing this for 20 years, and he graduated, from this prestigious university and has almost 100% success rate. Are you going to pick the DEI idiot, or are you going to pick somebody that's qualified to do the job?
Exactly. I want someone that actually knows how to do heart surgery, like Ben Carson.
Yeah, like Ben Carson, yeah. Okay, now, this is a question that I'm asking. Listen to this.
There is growing national concern about the risk of election deniers convincing local officials to refuse certification of legitimate voting results after a bizarre situation unfolded in Nevada, where a county board commissioner refused to certify her own victory.
Washoe County Board Commissioner Clara Andriola won her primary in June by nearly 19 points. Yet at last Tuesday's commission meeting, Andriola joined two other Republican commissioners in deciding not to certify the results of her own election. David Lang reporting.
Is that the most stupid thing that you've heard of
it's kind
this
of
week? Yeah. Is it possible? Here's the question. Is it possible to have a fair election in the United States of America? And I know this is pure opinion from both of us. Is it possible to have a fair election anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so. Yeah, it would have to be so overwhelming that how could you possibly deny it? And I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at, too. And, you go to or you watch the Trump rallies and you see a bunch of people holding up signs that say too big to rig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that's what it's going to take. Okay, I don't think I've played this one yet. If I have, I'll kill it. Okay, here we go.
This is a special news report. Donald Trump was rushed off stage during an election rally in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday after a potential assassination attempt on the former president.
I'm Lawrence Keller. Secret Service agents swarmed Trump and ducked behind the podium. Blood was visible on Trump's right ear as agents surrounded him and escorted him off the stage to a waiting vehicle for a quick departure. Trump is fine, a spokesperson said. The alleged shooter is dead, along with at least one bystander, according to Butler County District Attorney Richard A. Goldinger.
I'm Jim Kender. President Biden condemned the shooting at the Trump rally and urged other Americans to do the same. The idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate, he said at a news conference.
We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And so I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience.
Biden said he was trying to reach Trump, whom he called Donald, on the phone and wanted to talk to him. There is no place in America for this violence. It's sick, he said.
Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., stated he had just spoken to his father on the phone and that he is in great spirits. He will never stop fighting to save America, no matter what the radical left throws at him, he said in a statement. This is a special news update. I'm Alan Edwards.
Okay. Now, that was actually taped first before the previous one that I played earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I put it where I did is because of the fact that Donald Trump on Monday selected J.D. Vance to be his vice presidential running mate. Now, a couple of things about Mr. Vance before I read this. Number one, he came out and directly accused the Democrats of doing this. Okay? He was clear on it. So there was a lot of people that were saying, oh, well, you know, you better not pick him. All right? Well, anyway, he did. He picked him. The Republicans have quickly joined with him, though, congratulating him. And House Speaker Mike Johnson has applauded the decision. Bernie Moreno, I'm not really sure who he is. He is a Senate candidate back in Ohio that thinks it's a great choice. Mm-hmm. Senate Leader McConnell is supporting him. Senator Rand Paul, Senator Tom Cotton, another close Trump ally, Senator Lindsey Graham, has also voiced his support for him. So you heard where they were trying to say that everything is going to, you know, calm down, you know, the temperature, let's cool it, right? Okay, well, mm-hmm. here's the Biden campaign reaction to the J.D. Vance nomination. This happened almost immediately. Not today, okay, but almost immediately. An initial reaction to the contender's choice as vice president, President Biden said, here's the deal about J.D. Vance. He talks a big game about working people, but now he and Trump want to raise taxes on the middle class while pushing more taxes for the rich. Incorrect. Well, I don't intend to let them, Mr. Biden said, like he has a choice when he loses. Okay? Let me see here.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever controlled anything in his 50 years of being there.
He's been wrong about everything. I know that. Here is a little bit about J.D. Vance. He said he honorably served our country in the Marine Corps, graduated from Ohio State University in 2 years, summa cum laude, and is a Yale Law School graduate, where he was editor of the Yale Law Journal and president of the Yale Law Veterans Association. Now, the Biden-Harris 2024 chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, released a statement blasting Trump's choice. Donald Trump picked J.D. Vance as his running mate because Vance will do what Mike Pence wouldn't do on January 6th, bend over backwards to enable Trump and his extreme MAGA agenda, even if it means breaking the law and no matter the harm the American people. So how is that friendly? That's what they're doing, right? They're bashing him already.
Yeah, you know that.
This is someone who supports banning abortion nationwide while criticizing exceptions for rape and incest. That, according that's the same crazy lady there. Billionaires and corporations are literally rooting for J.D. Vance. They know he and Trump will cut their taxes and send prices skyrocketing for everyone else. No, if you remember the Trump administration, everybody was making more money from top to bottom. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
And paying less taxes, and there was low inflation.
Then you got Eric Swalwell out there in California, and he said he reacted to the announcement with a post on X saying, interesting move to go from he might be America's Hitler to is he hiring? Now, what he's referring to there is J.D. Vance said earlier, way long time ago, that Donald Trump was America's Hitler. So you can imagine that this is coming out. I promise you this is going to be run over and over again. Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison also reacted to the news, saying this is the most consequential election of our lifetimes, and with Donald Trump's decision today to add J.D. Vance to the Republican ticket, the stakes of the election just got higher. J.D. Vance embodies MAGA with an out-of-touch extreme agenda and plans to help Trump force his Project 2025 agenda on the American people. Let's be clear, a Trump-Vance ticket would undermine our democracy, our freedoms, and our future. So exactly what they said they wouldn't do, they did it about a millisecond after Trump selected J.D. Vance. So
I don't even think they know the difference between honesty and
no, they don't. They don't. They do not have a clue. Okay, that's it as far as Trump goes. That's all the information I got today.
Okay. Well, not really, but that's all we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, I got more, but you know that's it. That's all I could fit in for today. So, David, anything you want to say on that is fine, and then I got the Ukraine, and that's about it.
Well, I'm just curious. You know, a couple things came up. He said, well, one commentary said it grazed his ear, you know, as opposed to pierced his ear, which is a lot different. I did want to bring up in his MSNBC interview that Trump actually said that, you know, he normally doesn't move his head to look at stuff. He'll turn his whole body and look at it. He said, but at that exact moment, something pushed his head like that. And it was like at the exact moment, and then he felt that go through, and he said he can't understand it. And then they actually got into a discussion about God afterwards. I was like, oh, well, which God? And okay. But that was interesting, I think, on MSNBC, right?
Well, and then, I think that's, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then you got to ask yourself, too, this 20-year-old, no, this kid, was he really that good of a shot? You know, and or was he just their scapegoat to you because we saw him in the BlackRock promotion?
Yeah, well, I have information on that, a little bit of information on that. I was listening to some professional snipers, you know, that were in the U.S. service, and they said that this isn't a bad shot. I mean, this isn't a hard shot. It's not even required of snipers. It's too close. That this is something that, you know, just your guy that joins the United States military, that's about the distance that they use just to where they can get their certification. And he said it's a shot that them, who are not professionals, will hit 9 out of 10 times. Now, a professional sniper, they can hit from, you know, 500 yards or more. And there's even been some that have hit miles. You know, they get everything just exactly right. But anyway, it wasn't a bad shot. It wasn't a hard shot. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So
that was my question because I don't know anything about shooting. So
yeah, it's 100. It was 100, and I've heard different reports. 120 to 160 yards, which is almost 2 football fields, which sounds like a long way, but with a scope and all that, it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's just not. It's a pretty easy shot. So anyway, I don't know. My immediate thought, David called me, by the way, just to fill in our audience here. David called me and he said, I guess you're watching the news. And I said, no, I'm working on a show, actually. And so I was thinking that he was going to tell me that Joe Biden just dropped out of the race because that was, you know, that was the hot topic, right? And instead he said, no, they just tried to assassinate Trump. And I went, what? I knew it. Because I have been fearing something like this from either to go after Trump to make the road easy for Biden, or to go after Biden to where you can put somebody in that might actually challenge Trump. You know, that's kind
of a good excuse to get him out. Yeah,
right. You know, so I was unsure. Okay, so that's enough on that one. Let's move on here and talk about let's talk about Gaza. How's that? Listen to this.
Yeah. Because honestly,
a Hamas official says the Islamist group hasn't walked away from ceasefire negotiations with Israel, but Egyptian officials over the weekend said talks had ground to a halt. This as Israeli airstrikes on Gaza continue on Monday, following the weekend's strike which killed at least 90 Palestinians according to Gazan health officials, targeting a Hamas leader according to Israel's military. William Denslow reports from Baghdad.
According to a senior Hamas official, Israel's recent wave of attacks on Gaza is part of an effort to derail ceasefire negotiations. The Hamas-run health ministry in the Palestinian enclave says that an airstrike on Saturday killed at least 90 people in a humanitarian area. Israel says it was targeting Hamas's military chief, Mohammed Daif. Optimism had been growing in recent days that a deal could be reached on a halt to the fighting and the return of Israeli hostages. Hamas says it's not abandoned the talks in Doha, but Egyptian officials say they came to a stop after 3 days. William Denslow, Baghdad.
And I'm sorry, David, I didn't mean to step on you there. If you wanted to finish, if you wanted to finish your thought, feel free.
I didn't even know what it was. Oh, the all of this interesting topic we have
is still about the United States. Mm-hmm. But prophecy centers on Israel, so that's what we really have to stick with, is Amen. What's going on in Israel.
Amen. And the only reason that I keep bringing America into it is to demonstrate the fact that the United States, if we vanish, if we don't support Israel, I promise you all hell's going to break loose right away. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're waiting on the United States to show that they're not going to support Israel. And then everybody's going to move on them. I mean, I don't
yeah,
think...
Yeah, and that will happen at one point, because yeah. it says so. I was yeah. talking with some friends over in Israel today that actually live there, and mm-hmm. they're upset. Now, why are you not going in and getting our hostages? Why would you even have negotiations? Take mm-hmm. them out. Look what they yeah. did here. Yeah. You know, and what's going on next? What do we do? Are we yeah. moving out of the north? Are we, you know, or yeah. let's take this together. And yeah. one thing about Israel is it's not just young men in there. You're literally, I forget the name of it because it's in Hebrew, but it's the people's army is what it's called. All the people up until 55 years old, you are automatically on reserve. Man, right. woman, doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. You're on reserve. If we need people to go fight, you're going to fight.
Yeah. And that's not really a bad system. I wish we had it here, actually.
So, doing quite well for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more news report. I actually got more than that, but one more that I can tell you for you. Okay. listen to this. I'm going to get your comment on it. Let's see here. If I can get it going here. Hold on one second. Here we go.
A survey published by a Ukrainian media outlet on Monday has revealed that almost 44% of Ukrainians think it's time to begin official peace negotiations with Russia. The figure is a significant increase from last year's, although a majority of respondents are still opposed to ceding territory to Russia. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
A survey published by ZN.ua, a Ukrainian media outlet, showed an increase in the number of Ukrainians in favor of negotiations compared to last May, where only 23% of respondents supported entering into talks with Russia. Results varied depending on the different regions of Ukraine, where the highest number of respondents in support of peace talks were from the south at 60%. In western Ukraine, the figure was 35% and in the east, 33%. Although the figure has risen, the core issue remains. Moscow wants to keep the four partially occupied regions of Kherson, Donetsk, Luhansk and Zaporizhia, but a majority of Ukrainians are opposed to ceding territory to Russia. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Okay, if Russia wants it, Russia's going to have it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it there.
As simple as that.
By the way, before we get out of here, I want to let you know that the Teamsters Union, and this is the President Sean O'Brien, has praised Donald Trump's decision as a vice presidential nominee. So we already know that Biden lied about the border people, the Border Patrol, mm-hmm. backing him and saying that their union has never, isn't, and will never endorse him. And now you've got a big labor union that apparently is going to be backing President Trump. So I think Biden's, his base is crumbling. That's the best mm-hmm. way I can tell you. And the assassination attempt. Yeah, the assassination attempt. That's going to add a point or two to Trump.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're out of time for this edition, and I'm sorry that we went way political on this show. I'm really not, but because you need to know. You're not getting it in the mainstream media, and we're here to give you the facts and the truth, and that's exactly what we've tried to do. Now, in the next show, it's David's show, and we will be talking about the Bible, comprehensive Bible study. We hope that you'll tune in there. And until next time, everybody, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.